I'm Taylor Tarter, and this is Fastball Fantasy Baseball. Let's get into it. This episode is sponsored by the podcast Big Fat Winners. There's a million gambling podcasts out there these days, but most of them are boring and put you to sleep. Or it's a couple of guys who don't really know what they're doing. Not Big Fat Winners. These guys are professionals. They know what they're talking about, they're entertaining, and they pick winners. Skippy and The Edge talk NCAA basketball and football, the NFL and NBA, and each week on the podcast, they give away a few of their top picks along with their analysis of why they're picking those teams. Their record speaks for itself. Visit BigFatWinnersLive.com to see their record from this past year and get access to their podcast and betting packages. You can also find their podcasts on Anchor and Spotify. These guys helped me win a bunch of money last year. Let Skippy and The Edge help you win too. Follow them on Twitter at BigFatWinner and at TheEdgeBet. And make sure to listen and subscribe to their podcast, Big Fat Winners, during this football season. I know I will. I'm going to address the trade deadline moves a little bit later in the episode, but for right now, let's get into some player news updates. Aroldis Chapman earned a save, even though previous closer Zach Britton returned from the injured list. It appears Chapman's the closer now with Britton in the setup role. Ke'Bryan Hayes was called up by the Pirates this week. He's a great add at this point at third base. He may even see some time at shortstop. He hit for average in the minors, and I'd expect the same in his time in the majors. He hits the ball hard, but he'll need to adjust his launch angle to put the ball in the air more, so don't expect too many home runs. Nick Madrigal was also called up by the White Sox. He's a speedy second baseman with barely any pop, but if you need steals, he's worth an add. Now, he may end up batting in the back third of that lineup in Chicago, so that's going to limit his production in terms of runs and RBI, but he's a safe bet for average and a safe bet for steals. Ian Anderson has had several good games pitching for the Braves after being called up to the majors. He's worth an add for good matchups. And Cleveland rookie pitcher Tristan McKenzie showed a little regression in his second game, going four innings against St. Louis and striking out only three batters, but he may have earned another start, especially since the team traded Mike Clevinger, which we'll get into later. McKenzie could face the Royals next, which would be an excellent matchup for him. So keep that in mind if you roster him or if he's available in your leagues. And lastly, Bobby Dalbec was called up by the Red Sox. He's worth an add as he looks to get a bulk of the bats at first base in Boston now that Mitch Moreland's gone. Let's talk COVID. A member of the Athletics staff tested positive for coronavirus on the weekend, resulting in four postponed games for the A's, one against the Astros and three against the Mariners. The Astros game is going to be made up as part of a doubleheader next week. Athletics players are going to be off until Friday when they return against the new-look Padres in Oakland. The Mariners games will be made up as doubleheaders later in the season, so make sure to pay attention to that situation and adjust your lineups accordingly. There are a few new injury updates as well, including some players who are coming back from injury. Nick Anderson is nearing a return for the Rays and could slot in as the closer there. However, Diego Castillo has had a couple of good games as a closer for the Rays, and they may not want to tinker with that situation, so keep an eye out and see what happens. If you roster Diego Castillo, I would hang on to him for now. Madison Bumgarner could be back later this week for the Diamondbacks, but he's returning from a back injury, and he did not look good before going on the IL, so I'm going to wait and see before I make any move to pick him up. And also, it's a back injury, and he could re-injure it, so he is a risky pickup if you decide to add him. Alex Bregman is working his way back from a hamstring injury. He was expected to be out 3 weeks, which would put him on pace for a September 9th return. It looks like he might be able to return around then. since he's been making good progress. But remember, hamstring injuries are notoriously unpredictable. He could be fine now, but in 2 days he could tweak something and miss another 2 weeks. So just kind of keep an eye out there. Same thing for Gleyber Torres. Watch how he's doing. He could be back as soon as this weekend versus Baltimore. And if you paid attention last year, you know he absolutely demolishes Baltimore pitching. So if you roster him, or if for some reason somebody dropped him in your league, definitely keep an eye out. Walker Buehler should be back today against the Diamondbacks. That's a matchup I like for him. He should be good to go going forwards. Josh Donaldson is also returning today for the Twins. He could boost the production of that entire lineup immediately. Red Sox outfielder Andrew Benintendi is likely out for the rest of the year. Per Athletic reporter Jen McCaffrey, it looks like Chavis, Peraza, and Lynn are going to get the bulk of the freed up outfield bats, with Benintendi out and Pilar traded away. Justin Verlander in Houston is still out, and there is still no timetable for his return. He has yet to throw off a mound, and if he does return, it's likely going to be very late in the season, and he'll be very limited when he does come back, if he comes back. If you still roster him, he might be worth a drop. And finally, Charlie Morton returns to pitch for the Rays this week. If he's been dropped in your leagues, I would pick him up. Speaking of, let's talk some drop ads.
I lift things up and put them down.
There's a lot of pitchers who've been added this week, likely as a result of streaming, and it's actually the same for the most dropped as well. So some of the top pitching ads this week are Sixto Sanchez, Ian Anderson, Corbin Burnes, Kwanghyun Kim, Taiwan Walker, and Tony Gonsolin. Now, Sixto Sanchez looks really good for the Marlins. He's striking out 10 per 9 innings and doing so without giving up too many walks. He's stranding a lot of runners on base and has a 68% ground ball rate. That's nuts. He's definitely worth an add, and not just for streaming, but for the rest of the year. Ian Anderson is also worth an add as well, but to me, he's matchup dependent. I wouldn't pick him up for his game this week against the Nationals, but he has shown some good stuff. The reason I am hesitant to pick him up for every game is that his BABIP suggests some regression. And he's walking two batters per nine, but since he hasn't been giving up home runs, you know, he does have some positives as well mixed in there. So I'd like to see a little bit more to get the full picture before I decide to add him for the rest of the season. Corbin Burnes is a matchup-dependent add for me as well. His strikeout numbers are insane, but he's walking nearly five batters per nine innings, and he's been really, really fortunate in his home run to fly ball rate. If he keeps allowing base runners, and if his home run to fly ball rate regresses to the norm, he's going to see a spike in his ERA. So just before you add him, keep an eye on his schedule and make sure it's a good matchup. Kim's ERA looks great, but he doesn't strike out hardly anyone, and he's been getting very lucky with a low BABIP and a low home run to fly ball rate. I wouldn't add him. And Taiwan Walker's a similar type of pitcher for me. Low strikeouts, low BABIP. Expect the ERA to spike soon. Not worth an add. And Tony Gonsolin is a matchup dependent add for me. He's likely to get more time as a starter, more consistent time as a starter for the Dodgers after the team traded away Ross Stripling. But Gonsolin is yet to give up a home run. And so once he starts giving up some home runs, the ERA is going to balloon. So just kind of keep an eye on who he's slotted to pitch against and, you know, add him accordingly. Now, some other players being added are second baseman Jonathan Scope, third baseman Evan Longoria, and corner infielder Ryan Mountcastle. Scope's metrics this season look awfully close to his 2017, when he had a career year for the Orioles. A 290 to 300 batting average could be realistic this year if he can limit the strikeouts and the ground balls, and, you know, the power for him looks legit. So if he's available in your leagues, I would add him. If he's not, I would consider trading for him. I also preached picking up Evan Longoria last week, and honestly, I've been picking him up for a year. So what did he do last week when I said to pick him up? He has 4 runs, including a home run, 5 RBI, and a 3.48 average in the last 7 days. His metrics are legit, and if he's on your waiver wire, he shouldn't be. Add Evan Longoria. And then Ryan Mountcastle is also getting added a lot because of his productive week, but he's definitely due for some regression. He's not hitting the ball hard, and over 50% of his hits are ground balls. You know, he's been getting lucky as well. He has a 400 BABIP, which is really high. So if you picked him up, you're probably riding the hot streak, but be ready to drop him within the week, probably. Now, people are finally dropping pitcher Randy Dobnak after he got lit up by Detroit, a team you do not want to get lit up by. Leave him on the waiver wire. He doesn't strike anybody out. Williams from Seattle was the closer there. He looked like he looked like he was going to get moved out of the closer role, but then he got traded to the Padres. So you don't have to worry about him, but it's unlikely he sees saves there. So if you had him, drop him. There's also a couple of other pitchers being dropped. Chris Bassitt. Now he's a really good streaming option. I'm not surprised to see him on the most drop list this week. I don't have a problem with you dropping him, but you definitely want to pay attention to who he's facing as a streaming option. Adam Wainwright is also getting dropped in a lot of leagues. Now, somehow he still has a sub-3 ERA. I can't believe it. He's definitely matchup dependent. And you know, if you dropped him because you're streaming, it's a good call. He's only striking out 6 per 9 innings, and he has a really low BABIP and a really low home run to fly ball rate, which all suggests he's going to regress. Now, if you do roster him, he's a prime trade high candidate. And before we go to break, I want to take a look at some of the players who've been heating up this week.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Outfielder Marcelo Zuna is one of the hottest hitters this week. He's likely rostered in your leagues, but should be a target for you to acquire if you need outfield help. He's hitting the ball hard. He's putting it in the air. The only negatives for him are that his BABIP suggests some regression to his batting average, though not major, and his home run to fly ball rate is nearly double his career rate, which means that, you know, his power numbers might regress a little bit. Another hot hitter has been Rhys Hoskins. He had a dreadful start to this season, but has turned things around. He's gotten his walk rate up and his K rate down. He's hitting the ball hard. He's putting it in the air. His BABIP is a bit higher than usual, so his batting average may dip down to the 240s or so by the end of the season. But the power is legit, and he's worth adding if you need first base. Alex Dickerson has looked good for the Giants in the last week. This does not seem to be a fluke. His BABIP is actually lower than normal, which means that he could potentially raise his batting average. He's walking more and striking out less than last year, which are good signs, and they're backed up by his plate discipline metrics. He's not chasing pitches outside of the zone. His swinging strike rate is good. His hard contact rate is excellent, as are his line drive and fly ball numbers. The negative for him is that his home run to fly ball rate is a little high. So the power is likely to come back to earth a little bit. He's still worth an add. Joey Votto has had a good week, but is not worth an add. His hard contact is well below average, and his ground ball rate is very high. A low BABIP is hurting him, is hurting his average, but he's not the player he used to be, and I'd look elsewhere for first base help. Jason Hayward could be a good outfield add for you. His numbers are very similar to Alex Dickerson in that the discipline and hard contact metrics look good, but there could be some power regression because of a high home run to fly ball rate. The BABIP looks good, though, and a 290 average the rest of the way is a real possibility. Add Hayward if you need some outfield. As far as pitchers, Shane Bieber continues to be one of the hottest pitchers week after week. What he's doing is historic. If you're loaded at pitching and you need other positions, you can ask for a king's ransom for him if you have him, but you know, he's guaranteed to be rostered in every league, and it's likely nobody's going to trade him. Other hot pitchers from this week include Masahiro Tanaka, who pitched well against the Braves and the Rays. He's worth an add for the foreseeable future. Tyler Mahle also had a good week, but is matchup dependent in my opinion. And now I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, but I'll be right back to talk streaming, relievers, and the repercussions of the trade deadline moves. So there are some good streaming options this week. There's quite a few, actually. And what you'll probably notice, and what you may have noticed over the past couple of weeks, is that I target pitchers who are pitching against bad lineups. And so some of the pitchers I'm targeting this week, you've got playing against Pittsburgh, Detroit, Kansas City, Texas, right? Those are the teams that I want to find good pitchers against. So for this week, Cubs pitcher Alec Mills has a good matchup against Pittsburgh on Thursday. And then Anthony DeSclafani has a good matchup against them on Saturday for the Reds. White Sox pitchers Dylan Cease and Dane Dunning pitch against the Royals this week on Thursday and Friday, respectively. Against Texas this week, I would pick up Astros pitcher Christian Javier for his Wednesday start. And then I also like Justice Sheffield pitching against the Rangers on Sunday. And then finally, I like Rich Hill, who has a good matchup against Detroit on Saturday. There's been a bit of shakeup in a lot of bullpens this last week. So for the reliever roundup, you know, we've mentioned a few moves already. So to get into some other ones, Cole Sulcer has lost his job as the closer in Baltimore. And so Hunter Harvey is expected to be next in line to get saves for the O's. Gregory Soto moved into the closer role in Detroit and has some good value there. Greg Holland is closing in Kansas City, but it should be Josh Stomont. He's got much better metrics, and I wouldn't be surprised if Greg Holland has a couple of bad games that you see Stomont move into the closer role. Edwin Diaz has been getting some run as the closer in recent days, but it hasn't been going that well, and he's a really risky option there. I would also keep an eye on the Reds and how they use incumbent closer Raisel Iglesias and newly acquired Archie Bradley. And so I want to close out today with some talk about the trade deadline. And there were a lot of moves made during this trade deadline day, a lot by the Padres, which we'll talk about. The Blue Jays first, though, have given their rotation a facelift. They added Ross Stripling, Robbie Ray, and Taijuan Walker. Now, out of those three, I think Ross Stripling is probably the best fantasy option. He should maintain some good value moving from the Dodgers. And Robbie Ray has not been good this season. I don't think he should be rostered. And Taijuan Walker also is kind of pitching above his weight. So I think there's some regression coming for Walker. Like we said earlier. So again, Ross Stripling, probably the guy to own there. But the bigger effect on Stripling moving is on the Dodgers' rotation. It opens up a slot for Gonsolin to stay in the rotation, and it increases his value. Now, Kevin Pillar, he maintains good value after being traded to the Rockies from the Red Sox, and he honestly may be even better there with the thin air in Colorado. Again, the more significant effect seems to be on the Red Sox and, you know, them having more options in the outfield for some other players. Starling Marte and Jonathan Villar moved as well, sort of like a domino effect in Miami. But both are still good options in their new homes. Mike Minor moved within his own division from the Rangers to the A's, but to me, he's not worth adding despite the change of scenery. He's kind of a watch and see how he does going forwards type of player. Now, Cleveland got a haul from the Padres in return for Mike Clevinger. Now, Clev maintains excellent value. The biggest beneficiary for the Indians, though, is likely to be Josh Naylor, an outfield prospect they acquired in the deal. And he should get some time starting in left field pretty consistently. He has good contact and power numbers, and so he's worth a speculative add if you need some outfield help. The Padres trading for Clevinger is also a sign that they're not likely to bring up pitching prospect Mackenzie Gore this year. The Padres also traded for Trevor Rosenthal. It's likely he's going to stay a closer and will be the closer in San Diego, but Drew Pomeranz is back off the IL and could be an option there. That's a situation you definitely want to see. Mitch Moreland maintains some good value in his move to the Padres. He's going to be a DH for them. And again, you know, the bigger effect seems to be on the team where he came from, with Bobby Dalbec getting Moreland's at-bats for the Red Sox. Austin Nola was acquired by the Padres as well and is likely to continue to see time at catcher and first. He's doing really well. He's worth an add. And then Oakland traded for Tommy La Stella, who should continue to be a pretty productive at bat. He's got great metrics this year. I really like him. And he's going to be batting second in that lineup, which is great for his value. So that's all for today. And before I go, I just want to remind you to subscribe for free on whatever platform you're listening on, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Anchor, and to give the show a 5-star rating and a nice review. And, you know, if you want, you can do a paid subscription to earn some rewards and support the podcast, but you don't have to. I'll be back next week with some more updates and player news. In the meantime, you know, feel free to reach out to the show via our email, fastballfantasybaseball@gmail.com, and I will talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.